Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Well, welcome to His Stories once again. And we'd like to just start out with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just give you praise. Give you praise for what you are doing. And Lord, we thank you for how you love us. You are just so rich in that love. Lord, I ask that you just be with us for the next few moments and ask, Lord, that ears would be attentive and that hearts would be wide open to what's going to be said. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Good afternoon, morning, whatever it might be. Good morning, Gil.
Good morning, Kevin. Yes. How art thou?
Thou art fine.
We're good.
Yeah, how was your weekend and all that?
Okay. Good, yeah. Good. You know, we're just coming off New Year's weekend. Yeah. And so, actually, the past 2 weekends have been busy.
Yeah.
We had Christmas Eve, Christmas morning service. We had New Year's Eve party at our house with all our church there. And then we had Sunday morning service. And so it's been good. It's been full. And but it's been really rich as well. Mm. You know, I know we've seen it a lot in the news with a lot of celebrities passing on, but it just seems like that's happening all over. A lot of people passing on, transitioning, and dying, and just it's given us a lot to think about. But it's been good. I think it's making us really look at what's the most important, you know.
So I agree.
All in all, the weekend has been good. It's been really nice. My son, you know, he's now 2, going on 3, so this Christmas was a little bit different for him. You're like, he's not just playing with all the wrapping paper.
Yeah.
He's actually playing with the toys.
Yeah, the toys.
Not just the boxes.
Makes
and so
it fun. Yeah.
It makes it real fun to see his face. And but it was great. And it just makes you cognizant of the best gift that's been given to
us. Absolutely.
So, yeah. How about you, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, I'm just really, at this point, I'm very thankful to be alive.
Yeah.
And I can say that, not just the generality there. We moved. Our holidays were pretty much moving.
And it killed you.
It pretty much killed me, yeah. But we were making the final, something wrong with my throat, but we were making the final pitch to go get some of the rest of our stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're going down a road called State Road 19, which isn't too far from here. And there's this little county road that was perpendicular. I'm going about 50, 55 mile an hour down that road. And there's this this person, I don't know if they were on Facebook or what, but they weren't stopping.
Oh man!
And they're supposed to stop, and I'm got my little defensive driving mode going on, and next thing I see is this minivan now has gone into that lane, the other lane that's right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I put my brake on, I swerve. I got the trailer behind me. I got my son with me. And I'm like, this is going to hurt. This is really going to hurt.
Bracing yourself.
Exactly. And I don't know what stopped that minivan, except I'm just giving thanks to the Lord because they stopped. It was within feet.
Wow.
I had my eyes wide open.
Yeah.
But so anyways, very thankful. After that happened, you just get this rush then that comes at you. And you just go, God, thank you. That could have really hurt.
Yeah, could have really hurt. Wow. So, well, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Still here with us.
Yeah, my little story.
Yeah. Well, enough about us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but we have a very special guest with us this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're listening to the broadcast or podcast. Yeah. His name is Marcus Klingemann, and you hear him just about every single week when we introduce the show. He is the person who wrote the theme song and actually sings it. He's a musician. He's here in the South Bend, Michiana area, and his name is Marcus Klingemann. I should put a disclaimer. He happens to also be the co-worship leader at our church, and so a shameless plug. But and I just want people to get the background. And, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for being with us today, Marcus.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and a little bit about your background.
So I was born in California, out there on the coast, and when I was like 5 or 6, moved out to Rowan, biological father was in the Navy, so I ended up spending most of my time with my grandparents on the farm, growing up in Rowan, Indiana, a little 200, 300 person town. You can literally sit in the middle and see all four edges of the town.
Wow.
So it was an interesting background to grow up in. You know, I spent most of my time outside, you know, riding bikes with friends. And then,
It was a very exciting childhood.
a different place than kind of like the rural city.
Okay.
So.
And so how did you come to know the Lord or even introduced to the spiritual or Christian or godly things?
I grew up, my mom is a very godly woman. And she was a huge foundation on directing path and just getting me in church and getting me involved with church and teaching me who God was and where to look for God. I mean, my grandma was a huge part of that also. My biological father didn't really go along with the whole aspect of any sort of religion. I was really more focused on chasing $1 million. So it's most of my time was spent with my dad working thirds. So he'd be asleep the whole day while I was at school, and then he'd wake up, go to work. We'd have other things to do. So,
well, your dad wasn't particularly present.
No, not particularly present.
Okay.
So music really came around. My mom, she played guitar probably 30 or 40 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And
ago.
And she had an old guitar. And so I think my mom's got a picture of me. I picked it up when I was like 5 years old. And I think at about that time I made it to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and I lost interest. So I think at 5 years old that was a pretty good start. And then I didn't pick it up again until I was probably 12 years old. A buddy in high school got a guitar and was like, oh, we should start a band. And I really couldn't afford to buy a guitar or anything, so I decided I'd be a drummer because he already had a drum set. And I started playing drums, realized drums is not my forte, and ended up using an extra one of his guitars to learn bass. And I spent a lot of time learning the bass there, and I was in high school band. And then I started picking up guitar again, probably about 13. And that's actually the first we had a church talent show. And I don't know what compelled me at the time, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to play a good song on guitar and sing it.
Do you remember the song?
Heart of Worship, When the Music Fades.
Oh.
So that was the first song.
It's All About You.
Yeah, that was the first song I performed or played and sang at the same time at a church talent show. And my mom really started encouraging it from that point on. So I didn't get any lessons. I just sat at home a lot and played a lot of guitar.
Yeah.
And at that time, there was internet was starting to become more prevalent. And so I found there were Yahoo chat rooms and there was live music rooms where people would plug their guitar and have like a little desktop mic, kind of like what we got here.
That's cool.
And there'd be a couple hundred people in a room and people would get in line to sing songs. And I did that for probably a year or two, and I got to a point where people were asking me to do just like shows. People would hire me online. And
get out of here.
I would join a chat room, and I would just sing for an hour or two.
What?
And at the same time, I was getting pulled into worship teams. Like, I wasn't sure that that's where I was supposed to be. So I was probably 14, 15 at this point. And I started doing worship teams. But I wasn't singing. I was just playing guitar. I played guitar for worship teams. I was still playing bass for a couple bands in high school, and I tried singing for the bands. And they're like, no, you probably shouldn't sing. So for like the next 4 years, like I was still doing stuff in chat rooms, but I never performed outside or sang outside of a chat room.
Okay.
Because all the crowd I came across has said, hey, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Okay. You shouldn't be singing.
So now you're interacting now with chat rooms and worship teams. And all right. So now eventually you go into the service?
Yes.
At what age, roughly?
I enlisted when I was 17. So I graduated in June. I turned 18 like 2 weeks later. I left for basic training in July, mid-July. And I actually joined because most of my life I had spent working on technology stuff. My father owned a computer business. So I was like, I need to do something more aggressive. Mm-hmm. So I joined the infantry.
And That'll do it.
And so I joined the infantry. I enlisted when I was 17. Shipped out to basic when I was 18. And
where did you serve?
Just for... Just to make sure, right? Yeah.
I served as in the United States Army Infantry. Yeah. I deployed in 2007 to Iraq.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah, amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think one of the biggest moments beginning just seeing God was in basic training, actually.
Wow.
I had never been mentally broken down. Mm. Like physically, you get to a point where your body says, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Your mind says, you can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And your heart says, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you can override everything and you can actually accomplish it. So they got to a point where they were allowing us to go to chapel on Sundays and see a couple hundred guys that have been broken down to just nothingness and starting to build back up.
Mm-hmm.
Worship God was one of the most powerful things I've seen or experienced.
Mm-hmm. Let's hold that thought right there. Yeah. We're talking with Marcus Klingemann, worship leader, singer extraordinaire, and this is Kevin Michelin. I'm Gil Michelle. This is His Stories. We're going to come right back, and I want to hear exactly, I want to go back a little bit to when you talked about being broken down to nothing. Because it seems like God does that to us, too, in the army of the Lord. So we'll be right back right after this.
Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michelle.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So, Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000 by December 31st of 2016. And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to HisStoriesPodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't believe there's anything too hard for God. And we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
And we are back, and we're talking. I'm Gil Michelle. This is Kevin Michelin, and we have with us today as our special guest, Mr. Marcus Klingemann, worship leader, singer, guitarist, all-around singer, family man. And he talked about something right before we went to the break. And he talked about being in basic training and being broken down to nothingness and being in his chapel and seeing all these couple hundred men worshiping God having been broken down. Could you maybe explain what you mean by that exactly? Because you said you were broken down mentally.
Broken down mentally and physically. They take you to the point of exhaustion just so you can know that you can function.
Mm.
It's like... I grew up in a rural area. I didn't really have a lot of troubles growing up, you know. So there wasn't anything that was like, okay, this is you've entered hell.
Right.
You know. And that's the biggest one of the biggest things of basic training was teaching you that you can be broken down and you can still push forward.
Mm.
And
how did that help you while you were in Iraq or while you were in the service? Did that actually come true? Did that serve you well at all?
It did, and the fact that, you know, to be broken down, that everything can be taken away, and you know that God's still fighting for you. God's still fighting with you. Mm. It's not just you. You may be down to nothing, but God is still there fighting with you.
Mm.
You know,
amen.
If God is fighting for us, who can stand against us?
Amen.
And exhaustion mental depression, anything that has broken you down to complete nothingness cannot stand up against the power and grace of God. And he can help you push through. And it's something that might happen more than once in your life. Like that was just the first instance, you know, it's to get broken down and then built back up and be a stronger person for it. And then fast forward a couple years in life, I actually deploy. I deploy 3 weeks after my oldest daughter, Emily, was born. And I've been married for 3 months.
At that point?
At this point. I've been married for 3 months. So my wife is 17. I'm 18. I'm going to a country as an infantryman.
Yeah, and they're sending the world. Yeah.
And they told us, you're going to an area that hasn't been occupied in 4 years. Expect the worst.
Wow.
And it's to see something and experience stuff completely outside of the realm of what we live in, you know, here in the States, you know, it's eye-opening. You get broken down again. You experience a culture where, you know, over the past several years, you've been taught this isn't the way to be. These people hate you. And then you get to live with them. You get to live with a different culture, a different religion, and talk to people and experience their kindness, which can only be God's love, you know. And just to have things, I guess it was very eye-opening.
So, when did you so after being deployed in Iraq and then coming back, when did you get back to the States?
I got back in June of 2008.
Okay.
And this is where God decided that it was time for me to be broke down again.
Oh, okay.
Or worldly, I broke down again. That's probably better.
Okay.
So I got back. I had left 3 weeks after my oldest daughter was born. So now I get back. Have a wife I haven't really seen in 15 months. Have a baby I had no clue about. You know, I've seen some cell phone pictures, but that's just about the gist of it. And I've spent the last 15 months of my life on the edge of my seat, you know. And now life has slowed down immensely. And so I didn't know how to adjust. I didn't adjust well at all. So marriage kind of went out the window. Family life went out the window. And I disconnected. I disconnected from the world. You know, I've never really thought I had an addictive personality. And I've been able to, I guess I do. So that's a. Disconnected. I got into video games and stopped really doing music. Stopped going to church. Didn't know where I fit in, but I fit in a world that was completely digital. And that got bad enough to the point where I neglected my family and neglected my kids. And my children were actually taken away. And that was another crash point. And so I went through the next year after that, you know, working to get my kids back and it's restoring my relationship with my wife and getting back into church and not running away from church. That was one of the things I struggled with. I knew I was falling short, and so instead of facing and owning up, I shamelessly ran. And ended up moving out here. My mom had remarried, and the guy she remarried was very dedicated to the Lord and very dedicated to helping family. And dropped his stuff off and flew out and helped me move out here. And me and the girls have been living out here for about 5 years now. And I started getting more involved in church again and started playing more music and getting myself back together. And
so maybe tell the story of how you happened upon getting to our church. I mean, if you can do it in about 2 to 3 minutes.
2 to 3 minutes?
2 to 3 minutes, yeah, roughly. I mean, just.
Yeah, I'm really bad about tangents.
I'll nudge you.
So I got back into music, and I was doing a lot of worship, but I didn't feel – I was leading worship at church, and I didn't feel that God was blessing or that I was allowing God to bless what was happening. And so I was looking online. I went to Craigslist, and –
Disclaimer, legal disclaimer.
I was going through the musicians' wanted list, and I found a post that said, "Do you love intimate worship?" Mm-hmm. And so I opened it up, and it said, "Do you love intimate worship?" And I was like, "Is this all you have?" It's like, is this okay? I'm replying.
It was a nice teaser.
Yeah, it was a nice teaser, and it's a. So I replied, and I replied with my name and number, and kind of just a brief background, you know, just to make sure I wasn't some kind of odd person. Yeah, well, I am.
That still hasn't been disproven, actually. Yeah.
So that's I was out shopping, and I get a call, yeah, from Christine,
which is my wife, yeah. Marquito's middle name.
Yeah. So she gave me her middle name just as a.
You gotta be careful. Yeah.
On the Craigslist.
Yeah.
So she vetted me. She brought me in, and we started doing worship together. And at first, it didn't really click.
Hmm.
Like, for the first hour and a half, it was kind of like, you know, a bunch of songs that I don't know, you know,
right.
Vice versa. Hmm. And we came to the song I started playing, Won't Relent by Jesus Culture.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know that song. I know that song. And it, so we started, that's when it clicked. And we just started worshiping together from that point on every week, you know. And then 3 weeks in, she was like, you know what, Marcus? I gotta leave for 3 weeks.
yeah, 3 weeks to go to go to the Czech Republic.
I feel like you've got this. Will you lead worship for the next 3 weeks? You know, by yourself. Whoever shows up, and I always like a challenge. So it's been very humbling. It's been very eye opening and very directing. It's Marquito has been a very She's definitely a pusher, you know. She's like my mom. She sees the areas that you're. She knows you can do, and she says you're doing it this week.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's been great having you as a worshiping leading worship at TCD. So it's been great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all
thank
you.
You
do. Yeah. We've talked a lot about music, but in this journey of yours in faith, what has helped keep you going? I mean, I've talked to other vets who've served and been deployed in very high stress, high danger areas,
right.
And they come back, and it's very hard to adjust and to reconnect. I know that there's a good amount of veterans and families of veterans who are out there. What words of encouragement could you give to those folks who are out there, and how has your walk with the Lord helped you to cope and kind of manage through really like almost like a minefield of emotional minefield of things that you have to address when you get back? What could you speak and say to those folks that are out there dealing with that?
Today is only today. It's tomorrow can always bring something better. And just know that God has got you on a path that's of His knowing. Mm. Like, He knows where you're going. He knows where you're going to end up. So just to follow and believe and have faith.
Mm.
And to find the thing that helps you cope. For me, is music and worship, and not doing music and worship is one of the reasons I broke down. I fell away.
Mm.
I fell away from what I was called to do.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I was thinking about, I was just listening, really, hearing your journey. And when I was listening to it, I heard the ups and downs of life and the journey that God's placed you on. And the one thing that did stick out to me is the coming back from Iraq and that really that huge turning point where it could have really been, it was becoming devastating, but it really could have turned into something in which you were almost through that addiction, and we all have our poison that we will pick, and yours happened to be video games. Was the removal of your children, that was the turning point that turned you? Was there one thing, or was just multiple things that the Lord was just speaking to you at that point?
A culmination. It's like losing your kids is, you would think, would be a big enough turning point. Mm-hmm. But I was so numbed and shocked at that point. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things they said when I went in for the court session was like, you didn't react when we took the kids. But I'd spent the last 15 months, you follow orders, you follow, you know, this happens.
Right.
You don't get emotional. You don't react.
Right.
You solve the problem.
Yeah.
So it's like, at that point, I didn't react because my mind was, okay, this is happening. You can't change it in the moment. Where do you go from here?
Mm. Wow.
And that actually hurt me in the long run because they said you have no empathy. You're not feeling, and I wasn't. Mm-hmm. But that hurt me in the process of getting, you know, going through the court.
I know the church that you go to, that church downtown, I'll plug it for you guys. you do talk a lot about inner healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has there been some inner healing that has happened in your life?
There has. It's still a process.
It is a process.
It is a process. There's been a lot of walls that I've been slowly tearing down. And and Marquito is waiting for the day when the whole thing falls.
We talk about it. It's like the inside joke. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Marcus, we would be, I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, throughout this interview, I'm like, all right, you don't have your guitar with you. Mm-hmm. But you've mentioned a couple of songs, Heart of Worship, I Won't Relent. I don't know if that's hard to throw at you at this time of the morning, but could you maybe just sing us a little something as we close out?
The morning is hard.
The
morning is hard.
Yeah, I know. It's a professional singer. I know how hard
it is. That's right, I've heard you sing in the morning over at Hope. And
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you wouldn't, if you wouldn't mind, just maybe I Won't Relent.
He looks like.
Won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. I won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for Marcus's journey. And if you'd like to contact us, if you'd like to share your own testimony, please contact us on Facebook or on at HisStoriesPodcast.com or HisStoriesBroadcast, which is on Facebook. And you can find more information about how to get in contact with Marcus and hear more of his story or just in contact. Maybe you want to book him. I don't know.
Absolutely.
But we just thank you guys for listening and have a great week in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories, so drop us a line at HisStoriesBroadcast.com. That's HisStoriesBroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.